Good morning and welcome to Unity of Centralia.
Good morning.
Bring a friend next time. My name is Joanne, for those of you who are new. I'm going to read you today about transformation from the Daily Word. Christ awareness transforms my life experience. The creation story in the first chapter of Genesis tells us that humankind is created in the image of God. As I listen again to these powerful words, the truth of my divine essence, my Christ nature, takes root in my mind and heart. I declare with the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Belief in lack or limitation dissolves as I accept my Christ nature. Divine life revitalizes my body. Divine love harmonizes my relationships. Divine imagination shows me new possibilities. Divine wisdom and understanding guide my decisions and actions. Divine faith strengthens my commitment to transformation. Christ awareness transforms my life experience. I give thanks for my new life in Christ. And from Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. You remain seated and we will sing in front of your hymnal, Surely the Presence, led by Eileen.
Wind in
His helper. He did all the work. I just stood there holding the ladder.
Good
day,
I tell you.
Good to see
you.
The meter guy?
That's the rumor.
Good
morning. Where are we?
Oh, good. You ready?
Hello, Johnny. Good to see you.
You too.
Yeah, right. Oh, you're very welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. I could have filmed that coming up there. Because they were telling them.
It's a fine spring day.
Your wood thingy back. We decided the J's win today. Joanne, Janet, Jeanette, Joyce, John, Johnny.
Sherry Jean.
Okay. Announcements. I have one.
Please, coffee, rest up.
I need cookies. And I also need somebody from 2 to 6 on Sunday and 6 to 10 on Sunday. And it'd be nice if somebody helped Johnny. He's doing both 10 to 2s. And do you...
Wait, whichever one you want to plug me in.
Is Annie going to work with you on...
Probably not.
You work by yourself?
Yeah.
So right now I'm by myself 2 to 6 a.m. and he's by himself 2 to 6 a.m.
Okay.
So, helpers. At least cookies. I can work by myself as long as I have stuff to feed people. And do the men have any announcement for next Sunday, I hope?
We're taking requests for favorite breakfast choices, but write them downstairs.
Do you want to tell the ladies why?
Because we love them.
And it's Mother's Day, and they're cooking.
It's Mother's Day. We're going to be serving breakfast, and you know, we used to do it at 8:30, and last year we realized that's too early. We have more than enough time.
Yeah.
So breakfast at 9 next week, and... Don't forget, all you men, we have to coordinate. Write some things down on a piece of paper so we know who's bringing what. The ladies expect
basics,
it.
You know what we lack. All right, any other announcements?
Yes, I want to thank Tom for trimming all the hedges while I helped him.
Oh, thank you.
He really did work. I stood there, helped ladder drag the cord around, so.
Well, on that note, Susan was busy cleaning the flower beds when I came in this morning.
Yes, she was. Thank you, Susan.
Yes, Susan.
I hope you all noticed that the lawn is more gorgeous than it's ever been. And I'm not talking about being mowed, I'm talking about
healthy.
A luxurious green carpet. Not lots of moss and weeds, it's gorgeous.
You can take our shoes and socks off.
Yes. Well, watch out for the cuts.
Thank you.
Thank you, looking good, looking good. Any other announcements? All right, let's see, where are we, page two? So please join me in the Unity Statement, your program, and we'll say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Let's stand for our song of joy. What page is that? Page 203.
Johnny.
Okay.
Speak into the microphone, please, so we can hear this.
First, I have to find out where I'm starting. Okay, sorry, Gail. Okay.
And since you're a little bit not quite so tall, if you would move it down to where we can move it better.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you so much.
Okay, can you hear me now? So I think I found where I want to go. Charles kind of goes on and on, so if you want to read something here of his, you got to pick somewhere in the middle and kind of start and finish somewhere before you get to the end. But this is a wonderful book. I borrowed this from our library. I recommend it to everyone. And here he's talking about, the mass consciousness is formed of thought currents and the dominant beliefs of all people. A few men and women arise above these currents of thought and become independent thinkers. The dominating idea of money getting as the goal of success is now being replaced by the idea of usefulness and good works. And he wrote this in 1936, but it still applies today, doesn't it? This idea must be carried out by individuals who have resolved to think and act in the Jesus Christ way. To be one of these individuals and to contribute to the change in the mass consciousness, first dedicate yourself in spirit to the ministry of Jesus and resolve to carry forward the great work he has commissioned you to do. This does not mean that you must preach like Paul or necessarily carry on any extensive work in the outer world. In the silence of your inner chamber, you can do a mighty work of power by daily denying the beliefs in avarice and covetousness and affirming the universal sway of divine love and justice. You can make the idea of exact equity and justice between one person and another the central theme of all you're saying and doing. When you see examples of greed and avarice, or when thoughts of these seek a place in your mind, remember the words of the Master. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Never for a moment allow yourself to entertain any scheme for getting the better of your fellows in any trade or bargain. Hold steadily to the law of equity and justice that is working in and through you, knowing for a certainty that you are supplied with everything necessary to fulfill all your requirements. Give full value for everything you get. Demand the same for everything you give. But do not try to enforce that demand by human methods. There is a better way. Think of yourself as spirit, working with powerful spiritual forces, and know that the demands of spirit must and will be met. Do not plan to lay up for the future. Let the future take care of itself. To entertain any fears or doubts on that point saps your strength and depletes your spiritual power. Hold steadily to the thought of the omnipresence of universal supply, its perfect equilibrium, and its swift action in filling every apparent vacuum or place of lack. If you have been in the habit of hoarding, or of practicing a stringent economy, change your thoughts, your thought currents to generosity. Practice giving, even though it may be in a small way. Give in a spirit of love, and give when you cannot see any possibility of return. Put real substance into your gift by giving the substance of the heart with the token of money or whatever it is. Through the power of your word, you can bless and spiritually multiply everything that you give. See yourself as the steward of God, handing out his inexhaustible supplies. In this manner, you are setting into action mental and spiritual forces that eventually bring large results into visibility. Be happy in your giving. God loves a cheerful giver because his mind and heart are open to the flow of pure substance of being that balances all things. Do not give with any idea that you are bestowing charity. The idea of charity has infested the mass consciousness for thousands of years and is responsible for the great army of human dependence. Do all you can to annul this mental error. There is no such thing as charity as popularly understood. Everything belongs to God, and all his children are equally entitled to it. The fact that one has a surplus and gives some of it to another does not make that one a benefactor and the other a dependent. The one with the surplus is simply a steward of God and is merely discharging the work of his stewardship. When one asks for divine wisdom and understanding about giving, it becomes a joy both to the giver and the recipient.
Thank you, John. Amen.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Charles.
All righty. You're being seated for a meditation song, page 164.
Ask for me, I am there. me. I'm one with you. You're one with me. We are one. We are one. We are one.
Very much. That song. That's pretty. Very simple. Right to the heart. Okay, this is our first Sunday. So, we've got to be affirmations. Back away, back a page. Affirmations are in your program. Let's say them all together. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time. So usually, the Lord's Prayer, the Alleluia, and then introduce the speaker. However, it's the first Sunday, so Daria's going to sing Lord's Prayer, good, and the Alleluia. And then we'll go right into her talk. And so I present one of our favorite speakers, Miss Daria.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Such beautiful music, piano, and boy, thank you. Wonderful medicine this morning. I sing not because we don't have the gifts in the group. I sing because it's part of my warm-up to talk. A cappella, Lord's Prayer. And you can sing with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Symbolically in all kinds of stories throughout the ages. I mean, it's used to we're talking about in Exodus, people crossing the desert and going through the wilderness. We're talking about Jesus experiencing the temptations and the wilderness and 40 days and nights of being going into the desert. We're talking about John the Baptist and the time that he spent in the desert, preparing to announce the presence of Jesus the Christ. So, just in that tradition alone, the desert is significant over and over and over again. But a personal desert for us is a spiritual desert. It's that phase or time period you may go through that gives you the opportunity to be in the wilderness and walk, listening for a whisper, a guidance, a message, a direction, where you may have this personal desert because of something that's going on as a health matter. You may have it because it's something financial. You may have it because of something at work, because of loss of relationships, because of a trial or tribulation. But in that desert, it is a feeling of, when am I going to get out of here? How long is this going to last? Why me? Oh Lord, why me? Maybe it'll be over any minute. You know that feeling, you know, when you're having kids in the car and they're going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, okay, I did this. I did this. I applied this lesson. I applied this verse. I applied this medicine. I applied what I know how to do, and I'm still here. Looking for the drink of water that tells me I'm done with this particular learning. Well, the whole point of that spiritual desert is to grow strong, not in the material sense, but in the spiritual sense. The whole point of it is to grow in leaps and bounds in that Christ consciousness and Christ awareness. It's that transformation that the Daily Word was talking about today. That allowing that Christ consciousness to transform me. And in doing so, it means I've got to let go of a lot of different things. One of the things that the desert brings is the brutal truth, not just your regular ordinary truth, but, you know, the stark, bare, not dressed up, not the justified truth. You know what the justified truth is? The justified truth is the truth that you tell yourself is the truth in order to justify what you want to do. The one that says, well, if he did this to me, I'm going to do this to him because he deserves it because he did this to me. And so that's the justified truth. Not the truth that, part of my experience of this is so that I can have the whole continuum. Is there any part of me that did something similar to somebody else at some other point in time? And I'm just experiencing the other side of that. Or, if I didn't do that, what is it that I'm to bring out in my Christ consciousness? Is there any part of me that can forgive this and bring it to zero that way? And keep moving. I don't have to give him a key to my house if he stole everything in it. But I can still forgive that and move on to another level of consciousness because I did forgive. I don't have to tell every one of you the story of what he did to me every time I see somebody new. Well, let me tell you what happened to me. You think that's bad? You think your life's bad? Let me tell you. So I'm still in the desert, or I'm asking for an invitation to go back. If I experience it that way. And I can remember going through one of my own personal deserts, and I was going like, you know, this is 4 years and counting. So what is it that I am not doing that I need to do? What is it I'm not seeing? What is it I need to balance out or heal? Because part of what will happen in this journey in the desert is that God will renew and restore our heart.
But it's the power of creation that is going on in this walk in the desert. I'm going to read you a little bit about the power of creation in that, from Romans. Now, I'm not always quoting Paul. Paul and I have some interesting experiences. But I will. This is Romans. Paul is, And if the spirit of him who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within you, so he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells within you. Therefore, my brethren, we are not indebted to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if through the spirit you subdue the deeds of the body, you shall live. All he's talking about is growing in spirit and growing in Christ consciousness and growing strong there. Because if you're going through any period without food and water, you got to grow what? Your spirit consciousness. You've got to grow that piece that is fed by water that comes in the wind. By water that's poured by the Holy Spirit. You'd be fed by the fruits of the Spirit. So your gifts, your strongest gifts or spirit, come through that period of being without that that is so convenient for us in the physical. It's why people fast for the spiritual strength. It's why people go on the hill. It's these things, I know there are people who are fond of the notion, well, Jesus fasted, we don't have to fast.
What?
Well, there are people who are fond of that thought. I mean, there's all different kinds of thoughts in this. Jesus did this, we don't have to do it. No. Part of growing that consciousness is to follow the path of understanding how we grow. What it means to grow spiritually, and not be dependent on this other end of the material world. And that the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. For I think that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. So if we really work with this opportunity we've had with our personal desert, we get at least four things. We get the opportunity for healing of the heart and how that gets renewed. We get the opportunity for vision to be revealed to us. Way forward. We get the opportunity for the desert to teach us with every step we take. That we learn something from what we did do or what we didn't do or what we chose or didn't choose. And if we pay attention to the signs that are there, it'll also be a leader for us, pointing us in the right direction. Visionary, healer, leader, and teacher. All four powerful transformers right there, right around us in this personal desert. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors in pain this day. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the salvation of our bodies. For we live in hope, But hope that is seen is not hope. For if we see it, why should we yet hope? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we do wait for it in patience. So, what do we know about faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So basically what this is saying is turning everything around and saying that if we have faith, that is the material out of which what we are hoping for is constructed. Not because we see it physically, not because it's there, but because our faith is so strong that it is the substance out of which we actually manufacture and manifest and make that real in earth time. What is it? We walk by faith, not by sight. So that I was in California in March doing some work with a group of powerful women leaders, and after that, that was on a Saturday, and on that Sunday I said, I'm going to go visit a church I've been wanting to see. I get ready to go to church, and two of the women who were in that group with me showed up. They were at the same church. Well, the chances of that, all the churches in San Francisco. And while I'm there, there's a whole group that's reporting out because they've gone down to Alabama to what's called the Legacy Museum and Memorial. Anybody know what that is? The Legacy Museum and Memorial, I call it the Lynching Museum and Memorial, because what it is historical documentation of lynching in the South. And it's educational, it's intense, it's very emotionally challenging for most people, regardless of what their backgrounds are. And there were a group of people who had gone there and come back, and they were talking about, in the church service, they talked a little bit about their experience. And while I was sitting there, one of the forms of transformation work I do, people know I do organizational leadership transformation, but also personal transformation and healing work, is this intergenerational healing. And I'm sitting there listening to this teenage guy talking about his experience going to Alabama. And I hear Spirit say, it's time for more of this mass healing work that you do. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, that makes sense. I go out to lunch, talk to one of the women who was in the salon with me, and I mention it to her, and she says, oh, we should get you connected to this Alabama work when we go down and visit. And I said, oh, that sounds like a nice idea. What do you have in mind? She says, well, they go down, they come back, they can debrief. Maybe you can come help them debrief. And I said, I was thinking more like going with a group or something of that nature, doing the work down there. But, you know, we can all think about it. We have time. That's the end of it. I go home, get up the next morning. I've got an email from somebody in D.C., Washington, D.C. I'm in California at the moment, asking, do I have time to go work with a group who's going from D.C. to Alabama to the Lynching Museum and having a retreat, and could I facilitate their leadership retreat? And I'm looking at this thing three times, you know, because, right? I just want to make sure that this was what the request was, and that I wasn't still in my dream state, because I do manufacture things in my dream. So I proceeded to call. They had three consultants they were looking at. I said, I'm available. Because, see, I was supposed to come here last Sunday, right? And I wrote Susan. I said, well, there's been this request, and because it's part of a vision, I'm led to say yes. And she says, go ahead, right? And I did, and they still hadn't decided. I went ahead and bought the ticket. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that was $500 I didn't want to be out of if I didn't get asked to go, but I bought the ticket. And I was asked to do the work, and I did go, and I just returned. So it's in motion. That's just, there's so many examples that we have in our own lives that we need to hone, refine, repeat of how we put together faith, hope, heart healing, and action. That it is happening, that we can. I was thinking about this particular group that went, and one of their objectives was to have fun. And I said, I could sure think of a lot of other places to go. It's not what I picked for the top of my list. My idea for the retreat, the number one objective was to have fun. I would think I'd go there. But by dealing with that which I have been avoiding, and taking a new path into that which I have avoided taking. Because if I'm still in the desert, there's something that I haven't done yet. Why haven't I done it? Because I've been doing everything else but the thing I don't want to do. I tried A, B, A, A plus one, A plus three. I did everything but the thing I'm avoiding. Because my little default program, which is not yet in the Christ consciousness, is what was driving me to do that repetition. But the moment I'm willing to do and take the path of that which I have been avoiding, then I'm ready to leap into a new area and ready to move out of that desert. Until then, I can wander in the desert for decades. And the biggest key to all of this is one word: surrender. And that's the song I passed out, I Surrender All. You know that song? Some of you know it. Sing it.
Just go to Cheese for the first family of gospel music.
Now let me tell you something. Family is a big deal to.
I'm going to see if I can get her singing the song instead of him talking.
I have known since you were very young that you are
different. You're going to add as I go on.
You cannot be who you are not.
Right, here we go. I had it on hold, but. Sing with Stacey.
Thank you.
much better with music. But the point is this, with that surrender, then we hear what we need to hear, we see what we need to see, and we learn to do what we need to do to be in that Christ consciousness. So this creation of us in our Christ consciousness is kind of similar to labor pains, and that's what creation is doing over and over, getting us into, well, it's like labor pains. So the person who shows up in your life pushing you in that direction, poking you in this direction, treating you in a way that you don't want to be treated in, is part of that whole process, part of the creation process. The ones who are treating us the way we want to be treated, the ones who are treating us the way we don't want to be treated, part of the groaning and moaning that goes on in the creation process. Men and women, sons and daughters of God. So we're going about the business of getting our inheritance in this Christ consciousness. This church is going about the business in its creation and labor pains of getting its inheritance. And so are we. Let's have our meditation. Place our feet firmly on the floor, find our comfortable spot we can sit in. Close our eyes, let our hands rest on our sides or on our thighs. Uncross our legs. Allow the breath of spirit to come all the way from the core of the earth up through our bodies, up through the crown of our heads. As we inhale and we exhale, allow the breath to go out of our lips, partially open. With each inhale, deep inhale, we're expanding the breath of spirit within us, expanding the Christ consciousness. Two more deep breaths. Become aware of what I'm willing to bundle up and surrender and no longer carry. What I'm willing to let go of and peel back and release so that more of who I am in my Christ consciousness can grow forth and unfold. What small or petty emotion, what fear or anxiety, what large heavy piece do I want to pass over? So that I make space for more joy, boldness, courage, insight, faith. In three big breaths, we surrender. Inhale, one. Exhale. Second one, inhale, deep, exhale. And for the third one, if you can, stand up. If you can't stand up, don't worry, you'll do it sitting down. I want you to take one great big deep breath, standing. And when you exhale, make the sound, not from your vocal cords, but from your power center, like your solar plexus. Go like this. Inhale, and then go, ha! Okay, here we go. Inhale. Ha! That let go. Okay. So feel
feel the difference of the energy moving around your body? Move your shoulders, move your body, shake it off. Move your feet a little bit. Make your space. Be aware of a God-given free will and choice to surrender that which is no longer you. And so it is. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, we're gods and goddesses. We need to start living like it, man. All right. Thank you, Daria. Okay, it's time for our morning offering. There are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Now let's say the prayer protection together. You'll find it on the back of your program or on the wall here. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Let's form a circle like this around this way. Sing a peace song. There's refreshments downstairs. Please join us for a beat. And thanks to everybody who made this a wonderful Sunday service. We're going to hold.
Yeah. Yeah.